Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. It's B. Mitch and Finley. I'm a big-eared blogger. B is somewhere. We got Toby in with us today. Good morning, Toby. How do you do?
What's going on, dude? It feels good. Haven't been this excited about a Wizards draft in a while. Feels like there's some decent talent they could get at 6. I'd be a lot more excited, JP, if they didn't get screwed out of the first or second pick, but we'll pass on that. We've already expressed our frustration on that. I think they can get a talented player tonight. Seems like a big night for the Wiz.
It does feel different. Like, my level of pissed offness when they got the 6th pick. Well, I think about that night. I was in Raleigh. I'm pretty sure the Caps, did they get eliminated or did they just lose that night? Or they got eliminated at home.
They got eliminated.
They got eliminated there?
I think so. Either way, I knew they were down early, and as soon as I saw that they get to the 6th pick and it popped up Wizards, I turned the rest off. I was so mad.
Right. It was so I was in Raleigh, and it was May 12th. White Brian, figure out May 12th what Caps game that was. So in Raleigh, Caps get drilled, Wiz fall to 6. I met up with some guys later that have interest in the team. They were down bad. We may have ended up closing out the bar when the plan was to meet for a drink, but it was not a great night.
You said May 12th?
Yeah.
Caps lost 5-2 in game 4.
Okay. Yeah, so then they got eliminated at home, I believe.
Yeah.
In game 5.
Yeah.
Yikes. But that was a bad night for DC Sports. Don't have to lie. And I'm sure somebody will tell me the Nats lost too, which does not compare to the other teams. May 12th to June 25th, I've recalibrated my brain. I think it's entirely possible that the Wiz are going to get a good player tonight. We're going to do our very own mock draft at 1 o'clock. Now, I'm going to let Jeff drive the vehicle here. I don't know if that means like we're going to make picks 1 through 10. We're all going to just like make a 6th overall pick. I don't know. I have identified who I want at 6. But I often do this where I identify a player I want that probably won't be there.
Is it some European dude?
No.
All right.
It's a white dude. But he's from America, I believe. What do we call white American basketball players? White dudes? And then everybody else gets called Euros?
I think so.
I'm adamant if Derek Queen...
Oh, you want Knipple.
If Derek Queen was a white dude from Czechoslovakia, he'd be a top 3 pick.
He's got the skill, no doubt about
that. Dude, like... If you just watch grainy footage of him from like a smoke-filled basketball arena in Greece and it looked like what it looked like in Maryland, people would be like, no way he gets out of the top 5. Dude's got game. But because he's not like an explosive athlete, we just judge American basketball players differently.
Yeah, I mean, just look at that shot he hit in the NCAA tournament. Like, that is spectacular.
Look at his ball handling skills for a legit, I don't know, what is he, 6'9", 6'10"?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, if he gets into the right system, dude's going to help somebody. I don't think it's the Wiz, but... he can help. I want Knipple. I think, you know what I've been watching? ESPN is just so smart. I don't know why, but probably because there's nothing on. ESPN is just airing The Last Dance again, and I just get sucked into it every night.
It's so good.
And I wonder if they've edited it, like if it's aired in a different capacity now, like if they've just chopped it up to make it feel fresh. Last night was... MJ, it was the when they beat the Jazz, the story of Steve Kerr's father, which is incredibly depressing, and kind of whatever level of similarities there are between MJ's dad and Kerr's dad, I mean, both were gunned down, mm-hmm. you know? Obviously, very different circumstances surrounding it, but that there is some level of familiarity for them. But I don't, I'm not trying to exaggerate here because Scottie Pippen's an all-time great player, but Scottie Pippen was the type of dude that could go to any team and help. And he could be the best player when he needed to be, and then he could be this incredible facilitator. And I hate what's happened with Scottie and Mike now, and I kind of hate what's happened with Scottie in general. Jeff, didn't he get just some, like, train wreck wife that is now, like, hooking up with MJ's son or something? Like, that chick's the worst just as far
wild.
As I'm concerned.
Yeah, wild.
Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Very accurate.
Just like a total, what's the, I don't know that I can say the word that I'm thinking of on
don't
radio.
Don't say it.
Okay.
Just keep on moving.
It's like four letters that people have a term for on Instagram. Does that make sense? I think that's sad to me. But I'm telling you, the ceiling, like the what Con Knipple can be to an NBA team, and I've talked to some like real basketball people about this, is like you hope he can become Scottie. The absolute like number, the best number two guy on a championship team. I'm just so in on that. He just immediately helps you offensively, defensively, loose balls. Like,
I mean, there's something to be said for being a winning basketball player, right? I mean, there are certain guys that come into the league and you're wondering if they can ever turn into a winner. Look what the Rockets just did with Jalen Green, right? There's no doubt in my mind that you would say Jalen Green is more talented than a ton of other guys in the league, but is he a winning basketball player? No, that's why he's moved on from the Rockets. Con Knipple's a winning basketball player. He's not going to lose you a game. He can knock down clutch shots when you need him. He was really, really good for Duke this year. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't hate it. It just doesn't – I don't know that the ceiling's as high, but sometimes it's worth getting a really, really good player.
They just drafted a guy number two. Isn't that supposed to be the super high ceiling guy?
I mean, yes, but it's just – the hard part is year to year, the NBA draft in terms of the talent pool is just so different. But, yeah, I mean,
you know the
wrong.
Biggest problem is I don't think the Wiz want to be winning for a couple more years.
Correct.
I think the, like, when the Wiz want to win, I think is, so this year will be 25, 26, 26, 27. I think it's like 27, 28. If you got some truth serum into, like, what the master plan is for the Wiz, I think 27, 28 is when it's supposed to be good, which is, yeah, that's a long time from now.
I mean, even when we were over at the, one of the last Wiz games there in the suite with company, and Will Dawkins came by, and he even mentioned, like, this year's draft is good, obviously. That's before he knew he was going to be picking sixth. But this year's draft is good. Next year's draft is just as good, if not better. So, yeah, I think this could be something where this year, once again, you'd like to be in that bottom three so that you could get one of those top picks, hopefully.
Who are the people in next year's draft?
There's a kid going to BYU this year, AJ DeBanza, who's really, really good.
BYU, this new basketball powerhouse, is
dude,
interesting.
It's weird.
They got cash.
Carlos Boozer's sons are, I think, both going to Duke.
Sons.
I think he's got twins, both going to Duke. Really, really talented. So, yeah, I mean, there's some really, really good players.
Carlos Boozer still painting his hair on? Can I get a Carlos Boozer hair update?
I don't think he is.
Carlos Boozer straight up cheated at Duke. Don't get me going. That was my era. just straight up cheating. But if your sons end up on the Wizards, I will root for them. I'm excited for tonight. I love the NBA draft. You know, Jalen Rose's draft suit remains the GOAT. Pop quiz, Toby, and I will admit that I just Googled this and I was very wrong. How do you spell Knipple?
Knuepppel.
That's pretty good, dude. I typed in, Jeff, Knapel. That is not how you spell it. I think it'd be dope if it was just Knipple. Knipple.
I think that's how it should be. I watched a lot of Duke basketball this year, so.
Yo, imagine what Breaking Tea will do with a Con Knipple t-shirt. Just like, I think you just put like a K in a specific location, bang, sell a million t-shirts.
Yeah, big time.
Nats did not win last night.
No.
I assume you stayed up because Toby told me he has a really tough time waking up before 9 a.m.
I'm not a morning person.
I'm not either, dog, but 9 a.m.? Morning person is like pre-7.
Yeah, and I definitely hate that.
Oh, come on, Toby. 9 o'clock, bruh. You got to get up earlier than that.
I mean,
you've got Jeff giving you a hard time.
I was about to say, I wake up earlier than you, and I'm out later than you.
That's definitely true.
Well, that's definitely true. But I mean, I'm not trying to make a competition here of who has a better time getting out of bed in the morning.
No, what I'm saying is you need to get up.
I mean,
you get
I
more time, get I more should. Stuff done. You got it, bro.
I think I'm gonna play a hunch. I think the least morning person is White Brian. Dude yes. rolls in here looking dead asleep, like just dead ass asleep.
Yeah, he usually wakes up about noon.
He's training right now, he can't hear you.
That's like when we first. Well, White Brian's a pretty quiet fella anyway, mm-hmm. but he definitely doesn't speak before noon. There might be like a grunt, but around noon is when like he can form words. Yes, Brian. Your mic's off.
It takes a while to wake up.
Yeah, you don't say. Tell me about the Nats last night.
Yeah, I mean, last night, up 3-0, you're feeling good about your time, and then they end up giving up a couple of runs. The real killer was bottom of the sixth inning, bases loaded. I think it was no one out at the time. Decently hit ball, not anything slow, but not a rocket chopper to Nathaniel Lowe. He decides to go to first base, allows a run to score instead of going home. Everyone was kind of talking about it. Charlie and Dave were like, I don't know why he didn't go home. The Padres broadcast was kind of questioning it. That ends up being the winning run. Trevor Williams was okay. 5 innings. If he would have been able to get out of that jam, he would have only given up the 3 runs, ends up giving up the 4 runs. They had a chance to win last night, just couldn't do it. The starting pitcher for the Padres got hit by a comebacker. I think it was Jacob Young kind of got him in the ribs, and he had to come out early after 3 innings. And then after that, the Padres' pen was nasty, not giving up any runs for the final 6 innings of the game. But, look, I thought the Nationals played well enough to win last night. They just couldn't get that one hit. C.J. Abrams, 2-for-4 last night with a walk. Luis Garcia didn't get a hit last night, so I think it ended his hitting streak. But he at least got on base with a walk. So,
Luis Garcia, my man, that took the 3-0 meatball from the yes. Dodgers dude?
Yep.
Me and that dude have beef.
Yeah.
just take it yard. It's yeah. a 60-mile-an-hour meatball. You don't have to take.
Definitely. But Brady House has been a big upgrade at third base defensively, which has been nice to see, but you'd like to see his bat get going a little bit. He's hitting 250, but he's brought up to slug a little bit. He's only got a 278 slug. So you need to see him drive the baseball a little bit more. But overall, Nats are playing better, but you got to find a way to win some of these games. I'll have a chance today with Mackenzie Gore on the hill against the Padres.
Is that late again?
Nope, 4:10 start today.
Okay. I might watch some of that. I like watching Gore pitch, man. So I got to interview him, I guess, a couple times now, and the last time was at that Nats red carpet thing. I want my pitcher, my stud pitcher, to have a little swag.
He does.
Be a little cocky.
He does.
Like, hey, you know what I can do? Strike your ass out. Yeah, I mean, that was Scherzer. Mm-hmm. I mean, Scherzer really had a mentality that he was just going to kick your ass at all times. And I feel like Gore has some of that in him.
100%. And he's one of the guys that, just from my conversations with him, he's a little superstitious. He's never going to give you anything. Like, if there's any sort of nugget, he's going to try to keep it to himself because he doesn't want anyone to get an edge. And you're right. He has a little bit of that swagger of, I'm going to go out on the hill and I'm better than you and I'm going to prove it over and over again. And this year he's been so much better. So I think all these guys, specifically the top of the order with Wood and Abrams, and then obviously Gore now pitching today, I think I'm curious how they feel. I'd be interested if they would actually express it or not. But when you get traded from a team, even though it's for Juan Soto, when you get traded from a team, I'm sure there's a little bit of extra going into that series. And you can kind of see that every time those guys come to the plate. Wood's homered in this series. CJ's been really, really good in this series. I'm curious if Gore is good in this series, pitching in San Diego again, seeing how that looks and turns out.
Yeah, I look forward to watching that. 4:10, I assume you can listen to everybody right here, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool. How was your evening, Toby? Did you do anything?
No, just chilling and waiting for Nats baseball.
Sounds about right.
I'm pretty boring.
I know. My daughters had a swim meet last night.
How'd that go?
You know how hot it was yesterday?
Did you hop in the pool?
No. Yo, they kicked off. So, like, I've been to various pools, whatever, for these swim meets, and they kicked all the parents off the pool deck, which was interesting. And, like, the pool deck had shade, so So if you wanted to watch your kids swim, you just had to like stand in the sun. So my daughter is at this sailing camp, which is really pretty neat. It's in Alexandria, just south of the airport. Like I think it's called like Dangerfield Island. If you've ever been down in there, it's pretty cool. There's like a little bar restaurant and a little marina where there's just 100 kids, and these boats are like floating bathtubs from the 70s. Like you're not gaining a lot of speed with these fierce winds in June. But so she was in the sun all day and just completely cooked. My wife and I were texting. I thought I was going to have to take my older one home and not even let her swim and just let the little one do it. And she rallied, though. She drank a bunch of water and rallied. And then, dude, I just watched. You ever driven a car when it runs out of gas? Like, it's just going, stop.
And then just stops. Yeah.
So my daughter swims freestyle and then backstroke. And she's doing the backstroke, and she's pretty good. She's a fine swimmer, right? Not great, not poor, fine. But her backstroke, she knows what she's doing. She's usually pretty good at it. And she gets off to a decent start, and you just go one length of the pool. I think it's 25 yards or whatever. And it was like halfway, 10, 15 yards in. It was just like the gas tank went to empty. And she's just like sleep swimming, if you can imagine. And I was just like, this girl's got nothing left.
Yeah.
She's 9 years old. It's 150 degrees.
Unreal.
Dude, I had to do a Zoom with our friend J.I. Halsell. We'll run that later in the week. J.I. used to work for the Skins front office, now is involved in, you know, NFL agent work on a player side. And J.I. lives in Phoenix. We did this Zoom last night at like 5:30. So it was 3:30 his time. And I said, dude, I bet it's hotter here than it is there. And he's like, no way, man. I was like, I'm telling you. He's like, actually, it's kind of cool today. It's only 99. And I pulled up my phone, and it was 98, and they have no humidity out there.
So it was nicer in Phoenix than here.
Yeah. Now, I maintain, I'm a summer guy. I'm good with it. You hate the heat. I'm wearing long sleeves today.
I don't get how you're doing that.
My wife thinks I'm crazy. Last night, you know, I like to sit on my porch. I got multiple TVs. It's my zone, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean, the great people, Paul Henry and Crop Metcalf, have done a hell of a job that I have AC in there. It's usually perfect. But when it's this hot, it is a porch. It is a sunroom. It's hard to get it, like, cool. And I was just sitting out there, and my wife is like, you're nuts. I'm going inside. I was quite pleasant.
I can't do it. I can't do it. I keep my house at, like, 68 degrees. And even then, sometimes I'm hot if I'm doing stuff around the house.
How low will you drop it?
I won't go below 68 in the summer, but when it gets wintertime, I don't turn the heat on until it gets like below 60, and then I'll turn it up to get it to like 65.
Okay. See, I'm a warm guy. Like, I sleep in long sleeves a lot. My wife thinks I'm crazy. Regardless, the heat is bananas, and let's try to figure out when it's going to break, because this is too hot.
Yeah, please,
right?
Soon.
Amelia Draper, meteorologist for NBC4, is going to join us next, kind of give us an update. At 11, we got Neil Greenberg's going to join us. I'm curious what Greenberg says the Wiz will do tonight, on top of a lot of other things. Chris Miles, NBA TV, going to join us at noon. 1 o'clock, the first ever B. Mitch and Finley mock NBA mock draft. Without B. Mitch, I don't know that he would participate, frankly. And I actually really like this segment that Jeff has on here. Henry Ruggs is a talented football player, was a talented football player. Henry Ruggs made some absolutely terrible decisions. Mm-hmm. But we live in a country where you're supposed to get second chances, right? Henry Ruggs was involved in a fatal accident. He was driving a car, and a woman died. I think he was going too fast. I think he was drunk too, right? Like, I mean,
I believe so.
Terrible, terrible, terrible decisions. He served time in prison. Now he's out, and he wants to get back into the NFL. I think it's an interesting conversation, is where we are as far as like forgiveness and the legal system and all these things. I like that idea, Jeff.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Mr. Jackson. Woo! Linnell rearranges this damn studio. I can't make anything work in here. All right. Very fired up right now to get on the Rude Guest Hotline and welcome in our friend, NBC Washington meteorologist, Amelia Draper. Amelia, what's up? How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm great. How are you?
Hot.
Yeah, hot. Correct answer. Right? Hot.
Impossible to cool down.
I was telling Toby that last night my daughters had a swim meet, and we stood on the concrete surrounding the pool, and it was the hottest I've been in a long time. Is this the hottest we're going to get maybe all summer, hopefully?
I mean, it could be because yesterday we hit 99, and this is like the science nerd in me, 1 degree away from 100. We don't hit 100 every year in our area. Last year we did hit 100 six times. We had 6 days of 100-degree heat. But prior to that, we hadn't hit 100 since 2016. So this could be the hottest that we get all summer, and hopefully that's the case.
How long until we get some relief in maybe the 80s or 70s?
Right, well, 70s, that would be... we'll see, but definitely on Friday we're going to get some relief from the heat. Temperatures will be in the 80s. The humidity, though, that doesn't look to really fall until maybe next week.
Wow. All right. So I try to take like a broad view with the weather, and okay. I feel like May and a lot of June were actually very cool. Like Memorial Day weekend was cold. Is this kind of just evening out, or are we getting into the stretch now where there's no turning back till like mid-September?
We're kind of in the stretch where there's no turning back. Our average high right now is near 90, so that's what we expect on a daily basis, is about 90 degrees. But to your point, the second half of May was cooler than the first half of May, and that doesn't happen very often. I mean, right, you're getting into like towards summer, you should be warming up. That wasn't the case this year.
It feels like it was a heat wave across the entire country. What was the cause of that?
Oh, yeah. Well, you just had this high pressure sitting over us allowing this heat. Over these last few days, there have been at times over 150 million people under a heat advisory or an excessive heat warning. So, yeah, it wasn't just us, New York, up through the Great Lakes, down through the South, just incredible heat everywhere. Hopefully this is going to start to moderate, but it's not fun just sitting in it day after day.
We're talking with our friend Amelia Draper from NBC4 meteorologist. You can give her a follow on Instagram at Amelia Draper. This might be really stupid, so forgive me. It's probably also won't surprise you that I'm really stupid.
No, stop it.
Why do we get like the East Coast, right? I mean, from Boston to Florida. And I mean, why does, I don't know, half the country get crazy humidity and the other half doesn't?
Well, it's just like where we're situated, right? We're close to that body of water, so we have a lot of moisture to work with. Whereas when you're like landlocked in the center part of the country, to get that kind of like moisture to build in, you're not able to pull from the ocean. And then also you have to think like when you're out west, the Pacific is much cooler than the Atlantic, and their prevailing wind is out of the west. So it's always coming off of the Pacific Ocean. So that's why you get the marine layer in San Fran. Mm. But like here, we have the Atlantic, which is warmer. And so we have a lot of that humidity to work with. You have the mountains on the west, you have the ocean on the east, and you kind of have this like little circulation that sets up, allowing the humidity to just build in here.
There you go. Did you know that, Toby?
I had no idea.
Thanks to us. I know that the weather's great in San Diego. That's about like all I could come
up with. I was watching baseball last night, Nats in San Diego, and I texted my group chat and said, man, I could move to San Diego and go to baseball games there every night.
It's Petco's a great park.
That's the place to be weather-wise. Day after day, it's awesome.
What's the weather looking like for the 4th of July coming up? Is it going to be a roaster for that?
Yeah, that is a great question. So actually, next Tuesday is like our best chance for rain area-wide because a cold front's going to move through. What does that mean? That means it's going to kind of like wipe this dirty weather pattern out of the area. When I say dirty, we have like a chance of storms every day. It's hot. It's humid. It's kind of like the doldrums of summer. Tuesday, we get a reset, and then it looks like that reset is going to last through the 4th of July weekend. It could be really nice, low humidity, sunny skies. Now, beyond that, Saturday and Sunday, that remains to be seen. But looking at the weather yesterday and today for the 4th of July, right now it's like looking really nice, definitely better than what we're dealing with right now.
Oh, that's awesome. Do the Nats have the 11:05? I love that the Nats have that day game. It just...
Yeah, that's perfect.
It validates like cracking that first beer at 11 a.m. on the 4th of July.
Yeah. Just if there's a baseball being thrown, you can crack one open, right?
It's like a little parade in my neighborhood. We're good to go. Amelia, I have a theory, and I don't know that you'll agree with this, but have you ever spent any time in Minnesota?
No. Okay. I haven't. I've spent time in Buffalo, but not Minnesota.
I can't speak to Buffalo, but my contention, Minnesota's got the worst weather in America because their winters, where I've spent far too much time in the winter in Minnesota, is beyond cold and snowing and all of it. But their summer sucks, too. Their summer is like ours. Maybe not quite as hot, but they get a ton of humidity. They have mosquitoes everywhere. Do you think Minnesota has the worst weather in America?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to tweet this out. Per Amelia Draper, Minnesota has
Amelia Draper. I honestly have never been there, so I can't speak to it. I've lived in Erie, Pennsylvania, and Buffalo, New York, where I think people would argue the weather is pretty brutal in those locations. But you know what? You might be right, because summers around Erie and Buffalo are, like, for the most part, beautiful. So,
Hold on. Let's get I didn't even think about this. Of all the places in the world I'm going to this weekend, it's Erie, Pennsylvania. What should I expect?
You?
Yeah, me and B. Mitch are going to Erie. Road trip.
Okay. I love it. Well, you have to go to Presque Isle if you have some time. They have, like, amazing sunsets there, some of the best sunsets ever. You and B. Mitch can have a nice sunset together.
Hey, JP is a sky guy.
I am a sky guy.
All the time.
I don't know that B's coming with me to the sunset place.
B. Mitch and Finley on a sunset cruise.
There you go, in Lake Erie, in the beautiful Lake Erie. No, but there is some really cool stuff there because it's so old school, you know. The turn of the century, a lot of like stuff was starting there, you know, not to nerd out on Erie, but it's cool. It has some really cool, I'll text you some places, some markets you need to go, but you know, it's a unique area. You got some vineyards up there by the water. Here we go. A nice, wine afternoon and a sunset cruise.
You might get B in the wine part. We're going for a wedding. It's my understanding there's a casino. Are you familiar with the casino?
Well, no.
I have a feeling JP will be by the time he gets back.
I was going to say, I have nothing against gambling, but I have been to, like, only a handful of casinos in my life. With online sports betting now, like, that's where I find the most fun. But
Hold on. Let's deep dive into this. Amelia Draper's betting action. What is your standard bet? Like football, or are you betting the O's every night? What are you doing?
Yeah. No, I'm a supportive wife of my husband who likes to, you know, put in like a few sports bets here and there. It makes watching the game so much fun. You know, the parlay, you know, you're probably never going to get, but when you hit, it's awesome. Basketball, anything, you name it. Nothing right. crazy, though. We're not going down, like, the wormhole of, like, cricket betting.
You're not doing, like, Korean baseball like me sometimes?
Yeah. No. We're keeping it, like, pretty surface level.
Amelia, we have a guy that works for us, our video producer. His name is White Brian. He bets 20 cents a game. Would 20 cents get – would that give you the sweat you're looking for?
No. You got to do something where it's like if you got a card from your grandma and it had that amount of cash in it, you'd be like, nice, grandma. So, like, for me, I'd still say that's like 20 to 50 bucks where it's like, you know, you can have fun. You're not, like, doing anything crazy. Yeah. We're not going to, you know.
To be fair, White Brian's betting on colleges you've never heard of in college hoops.
Right.
So.
Yeah. No, that's a little too intense for me. I draw the line there.
All right. So, since you like betting and you know Erie, I'm going to set the odds of me and B-Mitch going to the Sunset Place at plus 280 and me and B-Mitch going to the casino at, like, minus 140. Are you interested in either side there?
And you're going to be at a wedding, so when are you going to have time to go see a sunset? You're not going to, like,
That's a good
peel
point.
Off to go see the sunset.
That's a good point. You know what, though? Because there's no direct flights to damn Erie, Pennsylvania. We're flying into Buffalo and then driving. So maybe we'll get a little sunset during our drive. We'll have Lake Erie to our west, I assume, right?
So you're going to be driving from east to... Yeah, you'll be driving right in sun. Your eyeballs will be burning out.
Great. B. Mitchell will be driving, to be clear.
Drive along the water. It'll be pretty dry. Buffalo's a nice, easy airport. What can I say? Yeah, that I'm familiar. That's so ironic. You know, this weekend.
Dude,
where's
that's why
the wedding?
A guy that used to work with us. It's in Erie. I don't know where.
You don't know where, okay.
We also don't have a hotel yet. I realized that this
Did you
morning.
At least get your suit? I know last time
I got the suit.
All right.
I booked a flight last week. So we're really making moves. Amelia.
Okay, well, here, just stay on the water. You'll know what I'm saying. There's a great hotel. Stay on the water. It's new. It's pretty. That's
Done.
Where you got to stay. You'll get
okay.
a sunset right there.
There we go. I'll send you a photo.
Please do.
Thank you for your time. Heat breaks Friday. Next week could be good.
Yeah, bring some cool weather, please.
Yes, I'll try. Next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday will be nice.
Okay. Thank you, Amelia. Appreciate your time.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Uh-huh.
Bye.
That's the great Amelia Draper. You can watch her on NBC4. Follow her on Instagram at Amelia Draper. Neil Greenberg, Washington Post, joins us at 11.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Alrighty, it's B. Mitch and Finley. One question I get more than anything is about the Terry McLaurin contract situation. And I have maintained, I think, the same level of calmness with this throughout. I think fans should. Here's a little something for you. This is from Albert Breer, Sports Illustrated. This morning, I believe, Jeffrey. I'm quoting from Breer. In Sports Illustrated this morning, I have a really hard time not seeing Terry McLaurin and the Commanders getting something done. It's been bumpy negotiating a new deal for the soon-to-be 30-year-old, but these things often are. I'd put T.J. Watt and the Steelers in a similar light. The sides have massive mutual benefit and motivation to push another over the another contract over the goal line. Where you at, Tobo?
I mean, the only thing that we've heard from either of the guys that are named here, Adam Peters or Terry McLaurin, is Adam Peters essentially saying that we're going to make Terry McLaurin a Commander for a long time. You've heard agents speak. You've heard stuff to try and drum up some talk and everything. But I don't think that until we get to training camp, I'm not worried about it. And I would assume that this is going to get done before training camp. They'll figure out exactly what the details are. I'm sure they already have a decent framework on the idea of what this is going to be, because it's, you know, the framework of it's going to be similar to what you're seeing DK Metcalf get, right? I mean, it's going to be somewhere in that 30 to 35 range, probably a little over what DK got, which is around 33. So it's somewhere in that range. It's probably just over guaranteed money. And I would assume that they're just going to hammer these things out. And it's one of those things that deadlines a lot of times force these things. And maybe the Commanders, maybe Terry's side. I wouldn't assume Terry's side, but maybe the Commanders are like, let's get this done closer to training camp, or like by training camp. And so maybe for now, it's just kind of, let's go about business as usual and figure things out, and then they'll hammer these things out once you get a little closer to training camp. But I'm not worried. Until you get to training camp, and if something is going on then maybe we can have a little more real discussion. But I just can't see all the stuff that they've done and how they treat their guys and the stuff that they talk about, and then you could let Terry McLaurin go. That just wouldn't make sense to me.
The one thing I try to pay attention to is how information gets presented. And Terry does turn 30 in September. DK is only 27. There is some difference there. Now, Terry also didn't have the mileage on him at Ohio State that DK did at Ole Miss. I don't know. Like, to me, you look at DK and it seems pretty easy. I wonder if you're Washington and you look at T. Higgins, who signed for 29, I think. And the other thing, and J.I. Halsell brought this up to me, was how would all this look if Chris Godwin decided to stay in Tampa because he really likes it there, and he took a lot less money. It's been widely reported the Pats offered Godwin $30 million a year. And Godwin's almost a direct comp for Terry because he's turning 30, or he's 29 also. The only little thing that has come to mind is in San Fran. Now, granted, they had a lot of players they've had to pay, but they've had a lot of holdouts out there. Debo held out, Ayuk held out, Trent held out, McCaffrey, I think, held in.
But they all got paid.
They all got paid eventually, but I do think the mindset of San Fran is they negotiate tough, and then eventually you get paid. So, the frustrations that we've heard about, I think, are probably real. Are you under contract? Were you in Wisconsin or anything?
No.
Working in the contract space, and not that mine are at all comparable to Terry's, right?
Are you getting 33 mil?
No. Luckily,
are you going to negotiate up to that?
$33. I'll ask for it. See how it goes. Hey, you know what, CK? I'll take the Godwin deal. I think, but seriously, going through that process just kind of sucks. Even when you know, all right, we're going to get this done, no big deal. Like, dude, my monumental deal came up. I guess I don't even think it's actually come up. I think it comes up in July. And my boss over there, Frank, called me in like January. He's like, hey, we'd like to get this done early. I was like, my man, sure.
Yeah.
So it is, like, just on a human level, it does get a little tricky. I remain quite confident in this, that they'll get it done. And, dude, you've got Debo, who's obviously, when right, a really, really good player. And we haven't really gotten any information on Noah Brown, which is how they operate. Terry's got some leverage.
He definitely does.
Like,
I mean, he's kind of the face of the franchise. I mean,
I think that might be Jaden Daniels.
Well, I think he's maybe taken that over, but he's been the face of the franchise.
Sure.
And, I mean, Grant has pointed this out before. Like, when you get down to the red zone in that Atlanta game, JP, what are they chanting? Terry,
right.
Terry. And not to say that Jaden's not going to take that over, because when Jaden was, you know, taking that time out and had to take a second, they're chanting MVP. But Terry's been the face of this thing for a long time, and people absolutely adore this guy. I think my only issue with this would be, JP, is let's not squabble over $3, $4, $5 million.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, 10, okay, I understand. But you can maybe have those sorts of squabbles when you've had to pay the quarterback. And in reality, Jaden and Terry's contract are never going to overlap each other, because regardless of how Terry's doing, like, chances
Jaden's
are
Jaden's big money doesn't hit till 29.
Yeah, by the time Terry's 34, he's probably not re-signing a big money contract with this team, and that's when Jaden's going to start getting paid.
This is also his last big chance at a big contract.
Correct.
At a multi-year, multi-heavy guarantees. I think the guaranteed at signing figure is a massive discussion point not just the fully guarantees, but when you get to fully guaranteed, some of that is if you're on the roster by March 15th of 2027. Like, fully guaranteed at signing is you're going to get every damn dollar of this, even if you get hurt tomorrow.
Do you think maybe the length of this is a discussion? Because you figure, and he's going to play this one out, he's going to be, what, 31 after the season? And maybe you're signing him to a three-year deal?
So that is a bit of a misnomer. Like, he's not 30. He doesn't turn 30 till September. So he's not going to be 31 after this season.
Okay, so
like,
he's
he'll
31.
Be 30 when he's 29 right
so
now.
So he's 31 like, going into next season, though.
No, he's 30.
Well, I'm saying the following season, when theoretically that new contract kicks in, right? The extension.
Sure.
So would you maybe sign him to a three-year deal?
He would be 30 still.
I get you. I get you. So regardless, he's on the other side of 30. Would you maybe sign him to a three-year deal but with or extension with heavy guarantees in the first two?
That's 100%.
But are they arguing for four, maybe?
No. If they are, they're not going to get it. There might be a fourth year that's a void year on the deal. His current year, there is a 2026 year on his current deal. It's just a void year. Yeah. They just spread out the bonuses that way. Maybe they're arguing about if there's any guarantees in a third year. I imagine the organization doesn't want to offer that. You'd be then talking about the 28 season. The flip side of this, though, is if you look at the Commanders' receiver group as currently constituted, like Terry, Debo.
Yeah, who's the next guy?
If Noah Brown's hurt, and Noah Brown last year was really good when he was on the field, but throughout his career, he has sustained injuries. That's been one of his biggest problems throughout his career. He's super physical, but the injuries have continued to pile up. Like, who is that? I mean, that's almost a caller segment. Luke McCaffrey? Jalen Lane? I mean, we did have that one dude call in talking about Michael Gallup, who didn't take part in minicamp and didn't play last year.
Well, and even if
Ja'Cory Brooks, the undrafted kid out of Louisville.
Even if Noah Brown is healthy and that's your guy, his career high in yards was in 23, 567.
Right, and how many games did he miss?
Yeah, he played 10 games,
right.
Started 7.
Like K.J. Osborne?
Yeah.
You signed him last year. He didn't get on the field for you. When we come back, Neil Greenberg joins the program.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.